would, go ahead and turn into your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. We will conclude our service with this chapter today. We've studied through the book of Hebrews the last several weeks or month now. We'll look at verses 30 through 40, and the header over my scripture, verse 30, says, "By faith they overcame." And so the question I have for you this morning is, are you an overcomer? And in order to be an overcomer for you, it may be something different than what it means to me. You may struggle to overcome things that I do not struggle with, and I may struggle with things in which you do not struggle. But the concept of this message, and of course the concept of all of the study from Hebrews chapter 11, has been faith, by faith. Nearly every verse that we read through the study of Hebrews chapter 11 said, by faith. And so in order to be an overcomer in life, in order to be an overcomer and enjoy the things of God's world, God's heavenly place, you must learn the importance of becoming an overcomer. And we'll do this together. You and I will do this together. Anyone who is called upon the name of the Lord will become an overcomer, and we'll be able to do this by faith. So out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, please stand and follow along as we read from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 through 40. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we have to read a portion of your word. God, I do pray that none of us here in attendance this morning take for granted this opportunity of gathering in your name. And God, I pray that we understand the importance of being an overcomer. God, we know that it is through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, that life eternal has been made possible. And so, God, it is my prayer today that there be one individual sitting amongst us today who has not experienced the importance of becoming an overcomer. God, I pray they do not leave these four walls before accepting your saving grace. Lord, I pray that you add a blessing to the remainder of this service. May everyone in attendance have their minds and their hearts affixed upon your word that is spoken from my lips. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Is it easy to be an overcomer? Or is it easier to quit, to give up, or to coast? Or maybe it's easy for you just to walk away from a problem and feel as though it will take care of itself eventually. Maybe you cannot be an overcomer because you have a spirit of fear. And I will tell you today that if you have a spirit of fear, you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ living within you. Because he has given us the ability, the power to not have a spirit of fear. And so therefore, you cannot be an overcomer if you have spiritual fears. God tells us in his word that if you believe in him, he will give you the very power in which you need to obtain the prize. To live a life that is pleasing in his sight. Notice it doesn't say in God's word to live a life that is pleasing in man's sight, but to live a life that is pleasing in the eyes of God the Father. Many of you may be natural worriers, but I encourage you today to understand that you do not need to be a worrier. You must always remember and always know that if you are a child of God, he will sustain you. He will take care of you. He may not give you the exact answer that you need. He may not fix the problem in the way in which you wanted it to be fixed, but God is in control. Jesus tells us himself in John 16:33, a verse that I've shared with you numerous times. It's one of my life verses. And in John 16:33, Jesus says some very important things, and it's something that you need to take to heart. It's something that you really need to hide in your own heart and remember it and recall it each and every day, especially when you feel as though you really cannot overcome. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," he says, "that in me, you will have peace." There is no other way that you will find peace in anything else but through Jesus Christ. He says, "You will have this peace in me." Why? Because he gave his life for you to experience true peace. He goes on to say, "In the world, you will have tribulation." And we can all agree of the trials and the tribulations that we deal with on a daily basis. He says, "But be of good cheer." He's saying, "Be happy, rejoice. Have great joy within your heart." He says, "I have overcome the world." Now, for me, it's easy for me to remember that last portion and rejoice. But for some, they may not be able to rejoice in knowing that he has overcome the world because they're not willing to relinquish their problem. They don't really want to be an overcomer. Maybe you don't want to be an overcomer. Maybe you like to just wallow in self-pity. And that's not what you're to do if you're a believer in Christ. You know, I pick on you all saying that you sit here sometimes looking at me with these faces of dejection and wondering when's this going to end. But I don't expect all of you to look at me smiling from ear to ear every time I look at you either. But I want to make sure that no matter if your face doesn't always show it, that you do have real joy here within your heart. And if you really have that joy in your heart, your actions are going to show it. Your face is going to show it. People are going to be able to look at you and know that you are a joyful person. They will be able to look at you and know that, hey, that's an overcomer. They believe in Jesus Christ, and they will be able to overcome this world because Jesus Christ has overcome this world. That is the only promise that you and I need to wrap our minds around today. And we wrap our minds around this, we wrap our hearts around this because we do this by faith. Remember, that has been the key concept this whole study. It is by faith that you will become an overcomer. And understand and know that you'll overcome this world. Everything that's ever come your way, no matter if it's been good or no matter if it's been bad, because remember, anything in this world is not good. We will experience goodness. We will experience ultimate righteousness when we see our Jesus face to face, when we overcome this world. Whether you overcome this world through death or whether you overcome this world through the rapturing of God's church, you will overcome this world. And God tells us, Jesus tells us, be of good cheer. I know many of you are going through different heartaches right now. Many different trials are in your life right now. And you probably don't think it's going to ever come to an end. And it's going to come to an end. As I said earlier, it may not be in the way in which you desire. But we must know that God knows best. And that his ways are far higher, far greater than our ways. We are not to understand God, but we are to make sure that we live by faith in knowing that he is our sovereign Lord. Believing that Jesus is God's only son is the start to being an overcomer. But there's something that's very important behind that word believe. Just believing in Jesus Christ doesn't necessarily mean that you're a child of his. And you may disagree. But there's more to believing in Jesus Christ than just saying, "I believe he exists. I believe that Jesus is God's only son? You must say that. That's the start. But what do you do with those words? We can read in James 2:19 that you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So what that tells me is Satan, we know, he knows there is a God. He tried to debunk him. He tried to dethrone him. Satan and his evil minions, his evil demons even know and believe that there is a God and there is a Son of God named Jesus. Will they be in eternal glory? No, they will not. All around this world, right here in our smallest town, right here in this church, people believe. But does their life show that they believe? Does their life show that what they have confessed and professed with their mouths, that they are serving a risen Savior? Do not ever forget that. Do not ever forget that even Satan himself knows and believes there is a God. But does he serve him? He does not. Do you believe there is a God? Do you serve him? If you truly believe in Christ, your life will be proof through more than just your countenance. It'll be through the way in which you conduct yourself, the way in which you serve the church, the way in which you serve the family, the way in which you serve the community, the way in which you love. Your life will show to the world that you are an overcomer. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your minds may be seduced from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Now understand this. You believe in Christ. But if you don't constantly put yourself in his word, if you don't constantly surround yourself with Christ-like people, and if you don't constantly strive to serve him, if you don't make it a habit to serve the Lord every day, your mind can be seduced from the sincere and the pure devotion of Christ Jesus easily. Don't think that it won't happen to you. It will happen to you. You must make sure that you make time for God every single day. As Brother Ryan said this morning in our morning assembly, don't make your Bible study, don't make your prayer life just a to-do list, one in which you just check off and say, I did it, and you move on. You cannot be that way. It's better than reading God's word at all, but if you're not putting forth what you're reading, if you're not applying it to your life, it's really like as though you're being a lukewarm Christian. And through our Revelation Bible study, what do we know and what did we learn that Jesus Christ said about the lukewarm Christian? He would spew them out of his mouth. A lukewarm Christian does more damage than one who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way that you and I will be able to become an overcomer. By having sincere and pure devotion. There's a song that we've sung here many times. I think for call to worship before. It sings, purer in heart, O God. Let me be. That's what we've got to believe and live it out. You know, we sing a lot of godly words, a lot of godly songs. But do we live them? Do we profess them? We must have great desire to be devoted to Christ. I could probably end the message right here and have a dismissal prayer. But there's just so much that needs to be shared from the scripture today. And I'm not going to go by verse, but there are some highlights here in these verses that we've already read together that I feel that I need to bring out today. And I want you to listen, but I want you to remember this. If you don't remember anything else in which we've studied together in Hebrews chapter 11, as you need to remember that it is only by faith that you and I will ever have a chance to live a life for Christ. It is by faith. The author of Hebrews is unknown. Many speculate it was Paul or perhaps Luke. But most people feel that they'll never know who the actual author of Hebrews is. We know that God Almighty knows. We don't necessarily need to know who the author is. But one thing that's very important in this scripture that we've read together is that the author of Hebrews knew his audience, and he knew exactly what they were in need of. I like how he makes the comment here. He wanted to go into greater detail about other examples of men and other examples of women who live godly lives for Christ by faith. But he said that time did not permit. And so for today, our time is not going to permit for us to go through and look at every individual one. But there was something very important that he did make known. He gave us examples of what these men and what these prophets of old had to endure. And not only did he give us examples of what they endured, but he gave us examples of how God showed up and showed out. And it's because of their faith. He pointed out that through their faith, they were able to conquer kingdoms. Through their faith, they were able to enforce justice. They were able to obtain promises from God. I love this one. Through faith, they were able to stop the mouths of lions. And we know that's a reference to Daniel. We know that Daniel had great faith in God, and Daniel was not worried, was he? He went into that lion's den, that den of lions, and he slept. Probably hadn't slept so good in his life because he had faith that God would close the mouths of those lions. He would quench the power of fire. By faith, they would be able to escape the edge of the sword. We're made strong during a time of weakness. Now, I'm sure all of you can relate to that. We can't really relate to conquering kingdoms. None of us can really relate to, at least I can't, to enforcing justice. We can relate to obtaining the promise of God. I've never been able to witness the stopping of a mouth or a lion's mouth, nor have I ever escaped the edge of a sword. But think about a time in your life when you were made strong during a time of weakness. Maybe it was spiritual weakness. Maybe physical, emotional, mental. But think about that. Reflect on that and just see how God is so wonderful, how he will always provide for you. And he will provide for you always and forevermore. And you believe this. You do this. You believe it by faith. And that's what God wants us to see. He doesn't want you to ever forget that you are already an overcomer if you're a child of his. He says he made them become mighty in war and even put foreign armies to flight. These men of old, these great Old Testament prophets, these great leaders, these great kings, they lived by faith because they knew that God would always provide. And there's no reason why you and I can't live by this exact same faith. You and I have a great faith. We place our faith in Jesus Christ. The very day that you confessed that you were in need of a Savior, the Holy Spirit will immediately come and dwell within your heart forevermore. And nothing will ever separate you from the love of God. Nothing will ever snatch you out of the palm of his hand. Do you believe this? And if you do, it's by faith. You are an overcomer. God is still on the throne. And it's just a wonderful mindset for me, and I know for you, if you ponder on the goodness of who God is, of how he provides for you every single day. God still sits on that very throne, and his only begotten Son is sitting at the very right hand of him as you and I worship here together. And then something that's even far greater than even knowing that we worship a true and risen Savior, he has told us, as he proved to his followers in the beginnings of the New Testament, that he was going to give them a helper. So as you come here to worship each Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday, or when you're having your own worship time with God, what is dwelling within you far greater than Jesus himself? He even said so. He said, I must go and prepare a place for you so that I could send my helper. My helper being the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That way you can take him with you everywhere you go. The Holy Spirit is your spiritual compass, guiding you each and every day to be the overcomer that God Almighty wants you to be. The faith of Joshua gave the Israelites the godly example they were in need of. And their faith in Joshua as their leader, because of his faith in God as his leader, they were able to trust him. They didn't worship Joshua, but they placed their faith in Joshua's word because they knew his word came from God. Go read Joshua 6, verses 1 through 21 sometime this week if you get a chance, and read of the very promised victory in which God had bestowed or did bestow upon Joshua. We think of Rahab and what she was to do. And prior to the battle of Jericho, prior to the walls tumbling down in Jericho, you can read in Joshua 2, verses 8 through 11. It says here in verses 8 through 11 of Joshua chapter 2, "Now before they lay down, she came up to the roof. And she said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we all heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven, above and on earth beneath.'" Rahab had heard the stories. Can't you imagine? You know, we have the luxury of social media and we find out things instantaneously. But can you imagine, though, as the word traveled about the parting of the Red Sea and how Joshua and his army had come through and defeated these mighty kings and he dethroned them. And here they are now coming into Jericho, and even Rahab had heard the stories. She knew of their Lord. She knew that Joshua's faith in his Lord was going to save him, was going to give him the victory. And so therefore Rahab had faith in Joshua's Lord. Rahab was spared because of her faith in God. Now understand this. Rahab was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. And then on top of being a Gentile, she was living the life of a prostitute. I mean, she was the epitome of what we don't want to be as a sinner. As a believer in Christ, we want to make sure that we're living as good as possible. But the one thing that I love about the story of Rahab is it shows us that God can use anybody, that God can change anybody. He can restore anybody, no matter what the sin may be. And so you and I must hold fast to that, because God can change you. No matter what sins you're living in, God can take them away from you if you believe. If you have that faith. As a believer who lives by faith, it is your everyday battle, I know, that you must face. And you wonder if you can continue to face them, if you're going to continue to be able to overcome the battle. But you will. You will overcome, because God is good. Because God is faithful. Ultimately, as a Christian, it is the joy of laying hold of the very promise of God, which is rendered unto us through Jesus Christ's salvation. And then unto glory. Philippians 1:6 says, "I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." He's already started that good work in you if you have confessed in him. That work, that good work, it begins immediately upon your saving grace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, 24 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." What a day that'll be. I've shared this with you before, I know, but when I'm at the beach, I love to sit there at the ocean side, and I love to look all around, but I love to look to the east. The beach is a happy place for me, but I love to imagine being there one day and looking for the coming of the Lord. And at that eastern skyline, and as I sit there, just imagine him coming for me. That most likely will not happen when I'm at the beach. It would be great if it did. It might happen right now. It may happen when we go to leave the church today. But it says, "He who calls you in faithful, who also will do it." Do you believe that? Do you look for the coming of the Lord? Do you ever anticipate that? Do you ever think that today could be the day? Will you be an overcomer if it happened right now? Or would you be left behind, having to endure trials and tribulations in which you have not ever imagined. We must not forget the faith which equips us to be strong in victory is also the very same faith which equips us to be hopeful through suffering. Just as God promises you and I victory, we also know there may be times of suffering, and God's suffering serves a great purpose. You may not enjoy the suffering, but rejoice in the suffering, because through this suffering it brings you perseverance. It'll show you even more how faithful your God truly is. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, looking at verses 10 through 12. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 12. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now read that again. Out of everything that has just been mentioned to us from Paul, he says, out of all those things that I experienced, he says, you delivered me out of them all, you being the Lord. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Through this suffering, Paul refused to stray away from the call and the cause of Christ. He knew he would one day be an overcomer. Take joy in your trial. Take joy in your persecution. Because you will be an overcomer. In closing, I want us to look at verses 39 and 40 of Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read those to you once again. Verse 39 says, and all these, speaking of the names in which we've read in the prior text, all the warriors and the kings, the prophets, he says, and all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, the life in which they lived, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. The author summarizes to these people that believed in God that even though they never saw the final fulfillment of God's promise, he makes them know, he lets you and I know that these worthy souls did all they could before the coming of the Messiah. They were told of this coming of the Messiah. They did everything they could in their acts of service, in their acts of love, in their acts of faith, because they did not know the hour in which it would happen. But through faith, they served and worked for God. They had faith in God to trust in something far better than God's future promise of resurrection and redemption. They knew that one day they would be afforded unto them a life brand new. By faith, they were commended. Most of these faithful only saw preliminary glimpses of what specifically was promised to them. And think about that. They just oftentimes got a taste of glory. They didn't get to experience fully. You and I are no different. We get the opportunity to taste a little bit of glory here on this side of heaven. But one day, we will be able to consume the glory because of the very promise of God. They believed in the new covenant of the superior Son of God with his superior priesthood, Jesus Christ, and his consequential eternal perfection of the faithful. I don't think I can reiterate that enough. Of the faithful. It just doesn't have to be those men and women whose names we've read in Hebrews chapter 11. If your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you too are of the faithful. Do you believe? Does your life show that you believe? Verse 40 speaks of being made perfect, and this is the goal. We want to have that perfection one day. You know, many of us strive for perfection here on earth, and you can strive until you draw the last breath, but we know that we'll never obtain perfection. We will obtain perfection if we've called upon the name of the Lord. But here on this earth, we'll never obtain that perfection. We shall overcome when we are made in the very perfection of Christ Jesus. This verse reads that God has provided something better for us. Now understand that this was written many, many, many years ago, but here we are and we're applying it to our lives today. Better for us. He has made something far better for you and for me. The saints of the Old Testament, along with those of the New Testament era, will partake together of the same end time perfection that you and I will obtain. Sinless selves in deathless resurrection bodies. Sinless selves in deathless resurrected bodies. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." 1 John 5:5 says, "Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Is this you? Do you know? And listen, let me reiterate this to you. It is okay for you to think about overcoming the world. It is okay for you to think about one day what it will be like to reign with Jesus Christ in heaven. Don't always dwell on the earthly things, for we know that the earthly things shall do what? Pass away. But oh, how we dwell on earthly things. Oh, how we pour our time and our energy in everything else but Christ. We not only sell ourselves short, sell our children short, our family short. But take away those things, those factors of the equation. The one who we sell short to the most is God Almighty, the one who created us. For he created us to become an overcomer. That's why he created you and me. He created us so that we will worship him and praise him and honor him. And you can't praise him, you can't worship him if you don't know him. We say we believe, but oftentimes our lives say otherwise. Revelation 3:5 says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." I love that. Remember, once that name has been written in the Lamb's book of life, you know it will not be blotted out. He's not going to erase it. It is there forever. It is permanent. And listen to Revelation 3:21. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne." So I wasn't just making that up earlier when I said that. When I said that we would reign with him forever in his throne. We will be with him. Jesus, this is the exact words of Jesus Christ. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." These are nice pews. This is a beautiful church. You all have beautiful homes, comfortable places to sit. But can you really imagine what it will be like one day that you will sit down with Jesus Christ? I mean, really, do you think about that? What a day it'll be. We sang today, there's a land that is fairer, much fairer than this. One day we will see our Jesus. You can only see this Jesus by faith. You believe. You live by faith. Remember, it's an active word. David Jeremiah once said, "From the spiritual perspective, we're not fighting for victory, but from victory. And this changes everything. We are called to be strong, so we'll stand in the victory that has already been won." Now, I want to say this to conclude this message. Will you stand in victory? Think about that. Without knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you won't stand in victory. You may feel as though you have the moment conquered. But remember, we want to live for eternity. Not death eternal, but life eternal. And you can only do this by faith. There's no excuse that you can't have faith like Daniel. There's no excuse that you can't have faith like David, like Samson, like Gideon, even like Rahab. All it takes is faith. It says faith the size of a mustard seed. We can move the mountains. Are you an overcomer? Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day in which you've given us, God, to worship your precious and holy name. Father, I thank you for all who are here today. God, I know we have many families who are on vacation, and Father, I pray safe travels for them as they travel to and fro. God, I pray that that hedge is around these families. God, I pray your hands upon them, God, but I pray most importantly that they continue to look for you for guidance, even while they're away from their homes. But God, as we sit here today, Lord, I pray for any individual who maybe has a stagnant relationship with you, or maybe not one at all. May today be the day that they too can have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be blotted away. To be an overcomer, God, that is what we desire. May we seek your face, may we seek your counsel in all that we do, God. I thank you for this day, Lord, and I do pray that you'll bless us as we leave here today, and we can all say that it was truly a blessing to be in the house of the Lord today. But God, one day, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and enjoy the pleasures forevermore. God, I want everyone in this beautiful sanctuary to be there. I'm going to be there, but you're going to be there. And won't it be worth it all when we see your face? In your heavenly name, I do pray. Amen.